Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues, here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm the aforementioned Tim Wildman, and we appreciate you listening. Ed Battagliano is co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is away on assignment.
Yes, we cannot divulge his location, where he's going.
Right, and his mission, if he chooses to accept it.
And he has chosen. He's on his way.
He did choose to accept it because he left us.
Yes.
So he will be back in a couple of days. I will tell you what Walker would tell you if he were here, and that is you can watch this show on two places live. We're live video streaming on YouTube and Facebook. So type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there and interact with other listeners. I guess we'll be posting some of the stories that we're talking about, etc., etc. So check that out and take advantage of that. And we appreciate everybody who listens to this program, and most of you stay with us throughout the day here listening to American Family Radio. Fred Jackson, news director for AFR and OneNewsNow.com, is in with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. I'm on assignment as well.
Well, good to have you with us while you're on assignment. Doesn't look very dangerous, though. Like you're going to survive it on assignment.
On assignment.
All right. Fred, what's happening? Lead us off here.
Well, today's a big day, I think, in the judicial history of the United States. Paul Manafort, who was once the campaign manager with Donald Trump.
Right.
A trial for him is beginning today. Now, the first distinction we have to make, this has nothing to do with Russian collusion, all right? But he is the first charged in connection with the Mueller investigation into alleged Russian involvement in the 2016 or interference with the 2016 election, and some people like to add on possible collusion with the Trump campaign. The charges against Paul Manafort today have nothing to do with his association with Donald Trump. What it has to do was his involvement, his business, whatever you want to call it, working with Ukraine government. The charges against him have to do with bank and tax fraud. That's the allegation. That's the charge against him. The charge being that he made a whole pile of money in his time working as a consultant, if you want to call it, with the Ukraine government. And the charge against him is along the lines of trying to hide some of that money, the expense money, et cetera, et cetera. However, this is going to get a lot of attention, this trial, for a couple of reasons. If he's found guilty, then some say it lends credence to what Robert Mueller has been doing over these last many months. If he is found not guilty, the feeling is that it basically abolishes the idea that Robert Mueller has been doing something profitable for the nation. So that is why this trial is being watched very carefully. So today is day number one, jury selection going on right now as we speak.
And there won't be anything major today. That both sides, you know, the defense attorney or attorneys and prosecutors, they'll just be going through the jury pool, trying to select out those who are maybe prejudiced or have already made up their minds, that kind of thing. So we won't have any news, but there'll be a lot of speculation about what's coming. But you're right, this is important for the Mueller team, because this is the first of the prosecutions that came from the Mueller team, although, as you pointed out, it has really nothing to do with the reason the Mueller team was supposedly convened, the special counsel.
May I respectfully disagree with you, fellas?
Sure.
I guess I could disrespectfully disagree with you if I wanted to, but I'm going to respectfully disagree.
That's
with you. I don't think
that's cool with me.
I don't think this means much of anything, because this has nothing to do with Russia collusion or whatever that is exactly. They're going to have to prove much more than collusion, Robert Mueller is. He's going to have to prove that President Trump colluded with the Russian government to affect the election so that he would win and Hillary Clinton would lose. That standard is a long, long way from being met. Although we've got a couple more years, I think, that he can keep on going. You know, Robert Mueller and his team of Clinton lawyers.
Sure.
But this Manafort situation, again, has nothing to do with Robert Mueller's reason for existing. Am I right about that?
Well, we said that.
Yeah.
That's not tied to it. But I'll say this, for something that really isn't important, everyone in Washington is going to be talking about it until it comes out. Now,
So he's guilty. What does that prove? Where does that get you?
No, it gets you nowhere in terms of Trump.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, and the other thing, a couple of aspects of all this, if he's found guilty and they throw the book at him, to use that old phrase, he could spend the rest of his years in prison.
It's bad for him.
He's 69 years old.
Yeah.
The other thing, he's been held in
solitary
confinement. This is not a terrorist. He's not charged with terrorism or killing anybody. This is, I guess you would call it white-collar crime of some sort, but he's being held in solitary confinement.
I was wondering why he wasn't out on bail. Did they consider him a flight risk?
I guess so, because they maybe think he's got money stashed in banks somewhere and he'd be able to get out of the country. But it's, I think it does go to the assessment that has been made. If he is found not guilty, here's an interesting fact in all of this. The judge in the initial case, the preliminary case, his name, the judge, was T.S. Eliot III, harshly rebuked members of the Mueller team in a preliminary hearing in May, saying they were pursuing the case against the 69-year-old ex-Trump advisor only as a means to target the president.
Well, now that's how Manafort came in the crosshairs of the Mueller team,
exactly.
Was they wanted to find something on him and then get him to, like Michael Cohen, the attorney, is trying to get the attention of the Mueller team, even though he's not really being prosecuted by the Mueller team, being prosecuted by New York attorneys. But he's wanting to get the attention of Mueller's team, say, hey, I've got some stuff on Trump if these charges will go away. And I think that's what's happened with Manafort. And the problem for the Mueller team is that if it becomes clear during this trial that they really don't have anything on him, it is going to severely undercut whatever credibility the Mueller team has, because all this is going to become obvious.
Yeah.
They put this guy through HE double hockey sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's guilty, like Tim said, you know, it's bad for him if he's done these things. But if he's if he's been put through all this just in an attempt to squeeze him for information on Trump, it's going to look bad for Mueller.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to be watching this very carefully. But again, today it's jury selection only.
Okay. Hey, by the way, President Trump's Tuesday Rasmussen report poll, not a report, the Rasmussen Reports Daily presidential tracking poll for Tuesday shows that 48% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance.
That's up a point.
That's up a point, and it's up 4 points from last week when everything was breaking. Well, I think over the Helsinki thing, he had dropped a little bit, but that's up 48. That's getting close to 50%. Mm-hmm. That's extraordinary, all the storms around President Trump.
I know.
Yeah, 48% approval. So I don't know how that compares to President Obama at this time or President Bush, but I bet it's comparable. President Obama, he was below 50% for a long time.
Right.
In the same way President Trump is. You would know that from listening to the liberal media today, as, you know, he's adored as the leader of the, you know, great progressive revolution in America. All right. Hey, Dr. Frank Turek is with us. We're going to change gears here and talk about something in the Bible. Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K, is president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries. He has a weekend show here on American Family Radio that we air twice, Tuesday, Saturdays, and Sunday afternoons. Saturday mornings, rather, at 9 o'clock Central Time. Frank, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Gentlemen, how is everyone down at Tupelo?
So far, so good, but we're only a third of the way through the day. So give it time. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
There are no Bible. There are no. You write. Mm-hmm. Dr. Frank Turek writes this. There are no verses in the Bible.
True.
Was it true?
Okay,
false?
Folks. Did I ask a true great false? Being with you.
All right.
thank you for answering that question, Frank.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is the verses were put in about 500 years ago to aid our navigation through the scriptures. I mean, can you imagine if somebody quotes something from the book of Isaiah, all 66 chapters, we say there's 66 chapters in there now, but those verses, that breakdown wasn't put in until about 500 years ago. But if somebody quoted something from Isaiah and you had to go find it, it might be difficult to find it without some sort of cataloging system we call chapter and verse. And that's an advantage of having chapter and verse, is that you can find places in the scriptures very easily. But the big negative, it seems to me, is what we tend to do is we tend to take verses as isolated nuggets of truth, divorced from their context, and that can be very dangerous.
That's actually, now I'm gonna compliment Frank, but and I do this fairly often. He's a brilliant speaker, but that's a brilliant insight. It really is, because so many people today will take a verse and they'll say, well, the Bible says this, therefore we're allowed to do this, or this is true. And what Frank is saying is, in the original manuscripts, you couldn't just take a verse. You'd have to read the whole section mm-hmm. in which it appears. Thereby, you get context for the verse. So Frank is talking about the cherry picking that is all too common in evangelical
churches. Yeah, what's an example, Frank?
Well, probably the biggest example that Christians are guilty of, well, there's many, but let me just give you one. And I'm going to annoy a lot of people out there, but all the email goes to AFA. It doesn't come to me. So
no,
I'm
no. If you really, if you annoy people after I gave you that big buildup, you're on your own.
Let's take a famous verse that people always tend to quote, because it's such an uplifting verse that we want it to be true in our lives, but unfortunately, it's not meant for us. And that, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, how often do you hear people quoting Jeremiah 29:11?
What now, Frank, you're going to undermine entire ministries by what you're about to say.
Well, I'm sorry, but I just got to be true. I just got to be truthful about what Jeremiah 29:11 means. Because people tend to think that it's a verse written for them, and that it's something they can apply to their lives. Here's the famous verse that you see on cards,
I know.
Hallmark cards. You see them on posters on the wall in churches. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." Now, who doesn't love that verse? Right. I love that verse. But who is it applying to? Who is it written to? If you look at the context, the beginning of Jeremiah 29, it says, "This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, to the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So this is a letter written to the people who are basically in exile in Babylon 2,600 years ago. So unless you're 2,600 years old and you're living under the tyranny of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, this verse does not apply directly
to
you.
I'm not listening anymore.
Sorry.
He said he's not listening anymore.
He's not listening. You're putting your hands over your ears.
Yeah, I'm putting my hands on my ears. Man.
That's why I said there are entire ministries built on
that verse. He asked me how the day was going.
It's downhill now, bro.
What a bummer.
Well, but God has plans for you, Tim. Don't worry.
I know. I know what you're saying. And you know what? That is very insightful, because we need to be, you're pointing out, we need to be careful. Here's what the harm, we're having a little fun with this, but when you quote a verse like Frank just quoted out of context,
right,
then it doesn't happen for you, then it makes God look bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the point.
When God didn't promise that in the first place, he was talking to these people back in Israel. Am I right, Frank?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, he's talking to the people in Babylon who he says 70 years later, he's going to prosper them and bring them to Israel.
Right.
70 years later. So even if you want to apply that verse to you, it's not going to happen for 70 years, right?
Well, but go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ed.
I was just going to say, and you know, we've had Ray Comfort on numerous times. He has a book, God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, or something to that effect. Yeah. And I think it's about persecution. And
that's
so
right.
A verse like Jeremiah 29:11, you look at Christians who are living in Nigeria or Sudan, and they're, good grief, they're being slaughtered.
They're not having their best life now.
No, that's right. And so they're saying, like you said, Tim, well, I thought God has plans not to allow harm to come to me. Well, you know, you're taking the verse out of context,
right.
And there are other verses that talk about what Christians can expect.
Now, there are a lot of verses in the Bible, though, Frank, that we can, quote, claim, right?
Oh, yeah, there are. There are more in the New Testament. But let me just say one other thing about this Jeremiah passage, because it's so important. We will quote, till the cows come home, Jeremiah 29:11, but we will not quote Jeremiah 44:11. Now, why not? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 is talking about the exiles who went to Babylon. Jeremiah 44:11 is talking about the exiles that went to Egypt, and God told them not to go there. You know what Jeremiah 44:11 says? Here it is. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I am determined to bring disaster on you and to destroy all Judah.
I didn't see that on a Hallmark card.
No, I have. Somebody sent me that card. I did get that card for my last birthday.
I used to have that bumper sticker, but people are always asking me what it meant exactly. So.
Now, Frank, I got to ask you, when you were looking for the on the other hand a verse, on the other hand verse, did you just go chapter by chapter looking for verse 11 until you found one that was a disaster verse?
No, I just happened to come across that in my reading. There it is, Jeremiah 44:11.
Yeah.
So we don't quote that. Now, I think what Tim said is right on in the fact that this is what happens, particularly with the prosperity gospel people. Mm-hmm. Prosperity gospel comes out of the Old Testament, which has to do with the covenant of the Old Covenant. It is not a covenant that applies to us now. In fact, the writer of Hebrews calls it obsolete, Hebrews 8:13. The old covenant is obsolete. It does not apply to us now. And the problem is when people go to these prosperity gospel churches, and then as Tim says, the God they think exists doesn't exist because he doesn't give them what they want. You know what they wind up doing? They wind up thinking God doesn't exist rather than they just had the wrong theology. That's why I know this sounds a little too strong, and maybe it is, but I'd rather have somebody not go to church at all than go to a Word of Faith church, because they go to a Word of Faith church, they're going to get a wrong idea of who God is.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
Here's the other thing, Frank.
So look for a church that has a sign that says, "We are not of faith."
Look for a church that says, God's promises, he promises you that he will never leave you, but in this world you will have trouble.
Yeah,
and
that's
but
right.
Take heart,
or find a church that has Jeremiah 44:11 out on the
right
on
no,
the marquee.
But that doesn't apply to us either.
No, I understand. Yeah,
yeah.
Frank, an observation on this. I think we're living in a culture right now. Maybe it's been going on for a long time where people pick a few verses out of Scripture. Those are my life verses.
Yes,
but
right.
They don't study the whole counsel of God, and I think that's the larger problem. Maybe you're addressing here is context going through and getting to. We're going through the Old Testament right now,
right?
And I mean, you can read Leviticus and you read Numbers, and that has a direct application. But also, you also learn from that.
Right.
You learn about the exactness of God, which you can apply to your life. But you got to read the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, Paul talks about in both Romans 15, and I want to say it's 2 Corinthians 10. I have to look that up. I know the Romans 15 passage where he says that what goes on in the Old Testament were examples to us.
Yes.
Right.
Example. So we read about David's life or Samuel's life or Saul's life or whoever we read about Joseph's life. Those are examples to us that we can apply what they did right and what they did wrong, those principles to our lives. But much of what you read in the Old Testament is not prescriptive, it's descriptive.
Mm.
And we have to draw that distinction as well. Much of the Bible is just descriptive. This is what happened. I mean, obviously, it's descriptive that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's not prescriptive for us.
Right.
It's descriptive that he had many wives. It's not prescriptive for us. Now, we can draw lessons from that, but we don't use those verses as prescriptions. They're descriptions.
Yeah.
Right.
I was reading in Numbers this morning where, and this is the point where some of the Jews started complaining about.
Started?
Yeah. They're complaining about the, you know, they
it's
we
a new
don't
day,
have. Our...
We're going to complain. That was the Jews back then.
Yeah. But
from what
I'm
reading.
But some of these, and they were the Jews on the outer bands of the whole masses, mm-hmm. what are over 600,000 people on the whole, and God struck them dead. They were on the other side just right. for muttering and complaining.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sure glad God doesn't apply that on a daily basis to
right.
us, you know, our muttering and complaining and striking us dead. But that goes to what you're talking about, Frank. It's description yeah. rather than prescription.
And you were born for such a time as this, Fred, as in New Covenant man.
Yes, that's right.
Because that old covenant was the old covenant for the Jews, and I'm like you. I'm going through the Old Testament about through with Numbers, and wow, you know, I'm just glad I'm living today because I would have been zapped.
Yeah, we all would have been zapped.
I'd have been zapped.
Jesus,
I've been
that's
zapped
right.
on a daily basis, though. That was, if you could be re-zapped. Anyway, Frank, all right, brother, what's your website, and what do you got coming up this weekend, or do you know yet?
Crossexamined.org, crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org, and we also have an app that people can download there, and this weekend we're going to have another dynamic program.
Dynamic.
I don't know what it's going to be yet. Because we are on the cutting edge of what's happening in society, and we apply apologetics to what goes on in society, and so
what are the plans for your show, though?
Well, God has plans for us. 70 years from now, this is going to be a wonderful program.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate
thanks, guys. Great being with you.
Okay, you too.
And remember, don't just read one Bible verse; read around it.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Did you know that you went to Bible college? You probably knew when the verses and chapters were entered into the
yeah,
Bible.
Yeah, it was during the Reformation.
Who did that?
I think it was the Reformers did that because remember before the Reformation, the Catholic Church did not want people reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so during the Reformation, they wanted the Bible. Martin Luther had it printed in German for the language of the people. They wanted the people reading the Bible, so all these things were added to help people find it.
Okay.
Fine stuff.
I'm glad they did.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jesus, when he was in the synagogue and reading out of the book of Isaiah, just as he opened the scroll,
yeah,
and they just started reading. Now, there are big sections mm-hmm. that are broken, you know, that have separation, mm-hmm. but no chapters and verses.
Mm-hmm. As you say, Fred, thankful
yeah.
that we have those today. We're going to take a short time out. We'll be back momentarily with more of the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issue is the name of this show here on the American Family Radio Network. See you back here in a few.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
President Trump is threatening to shut down the government if he doesn't get funding for the border wall, while at the same time, Mitch the Slippery Eel McConnell has said we're not going to fund the border wall this go-around.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. They say there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. That's what they say. Tucker Zimmerman of Cottonwood, California, exemplifies that motto. Mr. Zimmerman, retired, living in Shasta County, California, signed up the other day to fight another war, this one a raging inferno, killing his neighbors, burning their homes. Seemingly forgotten in the chaos, the livestock. So Mr. Zimmerman borrowed a large trailer from his boss and started rescuing stranded horses. A one-man Noah's Ark, saving dozens of four-legged animals and at least one human. Mr. Zimmerman tells television station KGO he pulled a man out of a burning house. Not only saved the homeowner, but he also saved the man's American flag. And today, that star-spangled banner still waves, thanks to the bravery of Marine Corps veteran Tucker Zimmerman. Semper Fi, sir. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
To Today's Issues. It is July 31st. We are back in the saddle after our break. It's hard to believe that we are out of July and we're heading into August. And folks, you know what that means. We got Labor Day coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Cracker Barrel's got their Christmas stuff out.
Cracker Barrel does? Not shocked. Hobby Lobby probably?
I'm kidding. I am exaggerating.
But I would believe it.
Huh? I know.
At Cracker Barrel.
You're right about Hobby Lobby, though. They have Christmas stuff.
Well, they probably get Christmas stuff out year-round about, don't they?
Yeah, they may.
Huh?
I mean, and my wife goes to the section of the Christmas stuff, and I just go, no.
No, it's too early.
Please.
All right. We don't want – what happens is you get Christmas going too early, and then you tire of it by the time it gets here, you know. It takes a specialness away. And I'm against that. I have strong convictions against that, Ed.
Yeah, hey, listen, I have strong convictions about everything, but that's one of the things.
There's a Bible verse somewhere.
There's a Bible somewhere we can find one.
I know the plans.
Pull it out of context.
So, you know, pardon me.
That was very good, though, with Frank Turek. That was a kind of an important lesson.
Yeah, a little Bible lesson. Had a little fun with that, but it is important that we read the Bible in context,
right?
And don't try to misapply it. And because then you get into error.
It was pretty funny. I mean, not funny, but, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, and then he said, nobody claims Jeremiah 44:11. I plan to bring disaster on you, for you have gone to Egypt.
Nobody quotes that one as their life verse?
Nobody puts that on a picture and puts it on their wall.
Oh, me. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to, do you think I should give our email out at this point?
Give Frank's. Give Frank Turek's.
Okay. I'll give Frank. Let me pull that up. I'll give Frank's out. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. One thing, Frank does have a lot of great insights, and I'm glad we have him on our network. I hope I can re-quote this, or not exactly quote, but at least paraphrase. He says, One time he said, he was on our show, and this is something he had written about. He says, you know, those the people who say, you know, they'll quote the Bible on you, thou shalt not judge.
Right.
And it's the only time in they ever cite the Bible, these people.
Mm-hmm.
But they whip that verse out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They know that verse. But he says, you know what? He says, it isn't judging that people have a problem with, that worldly people have a problem with. It's judging negatively.
Yes. I remember now. Him, huh? I remember. Go ahead. This is good.
Yeah, yeah. So he says, if you judge affirmatively,
right,
the way you say that,
mm-hmm,
then they don't have a problem with that. No. Everybody's all good with it.
You say, good job.
Yeah, if you judge by saying good job, thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No one whips the verse out and says, judge not. That's true. Was that Frank Turner?
Yeah, it was Frank, man. Yeah.
That's
he's good.
That is a great
he's
comeback.
Good. He also said, I think it was Frank, or it was Frank or Ray Comfort said, that the mantra, if atheists can have a mantra, it's this, I don't believe in God, and I hate him.
Yeah, and boy, do I hate him.
And boy, do I hate
that
him.
That is Frank Turk, too. Yeah. We have a little book.
Yeah.
Frank Turisms.
He's like the Yogi Bear of Christian quotes.
Yeah.
Or something, huh? He's got a lot of them. I got to tell you one Yogi Bear quote, and then we'll go to Sandy. I know Brian Fisher told me this one.
Now you tell who Yogi Berra is.
Yogi
People
Berra.
Are going to think he's
for the millennials.
He's a little bear
well,
on the cartoon.
There's a game called baseball, and Yogi Berra was a legendary New York Yankees catcher back from the 50s, 40s and 50s probably. But he was also known for his little quips.
Yeah.
Or nonsensical statements that people that sounded smart but were empty of any wisdom whatsoever. So Yogi Berra once said, again, I'm quoting Brian Fisher, who quoted Yogi Berra.
Right.
I was golfing with Brian one day, and he said, he quoted Yogi Berra, and I remembered this because it was so funny. He said the Yankees were visiting a city, and they were playing somewhere, and one of the reporters came up to Yogi Berra and said, "Hey Yogi, do the Yankees still go out? Do you and the Yankees still go out to this particular restaurant, whatever it was, this that great restaurant, you know, that you go to when you're in town?" And he goes, no, nobody goes there anymore. They're always full.
If you look up Yogi Berra-isms, they're
right.
They're hilarious. But
nobody goes there anymore.
Because it's always crowded.
Always crowded. All right. I don't think Yogi Berra's in the Bible anywhere, but I don't think he was quoting scripture, but it sounds like... Sounds like it could be a principle somewhere in there. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio weekdays from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. I have a really good verse for you this morning. Keeping with our theme.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you know that the Bible really supports overeating?
No, I didn't know that.
It does. This will be good news to evangelicals. It's the Lord loves the fat of the land.
Well, and Sandy, I got to say, too, one of my favorite verses is in 1 Corinthians 9, where it says, I buffet my body daily. So,
I like that one, too.
Yeah, right. You can write that down.
I've always wanted to know, do Presbyterians believe in potluck suppers?
Potluck.
Huh?
Do you know what? Oh, is there a joke?
Yeah,
wait,
go
is there
ahead.
A punchline?
No, we want to offend as many people as we can here. So
you know what?
I
remember there was a survey a number of years ago. I remember this one when I was on the radio in Chicago. And it was to find out which denominations were the fattest and which were the thinnest. And so the thinnest denomination were, at that time, white Episcopalians.
I believe that. If you had asked me, I would have said Episcopalians.
Really?
Almost every Episcopalian I've ever met.
Are they vegans or something?
I don't know. I think it's because they smoke and drink.
And the fattest were Black Baptists.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. That's what the survey showed.
Well,
although I think white
Baptists have a lot of dinners on the grounds.
Yeah, I think white Baptists have caught up.
I think so.
All right. So next up on the docket, after church, we'll have sumo wrestling between.
So those of you who are offended by Frank Turek, now some of you have been offended by Sandy Reed.
So if you want to lose weight, become a white Episcopal. That's all there is to it. Join the Episcopal Church and change your color.
That's a way to get conversions up. That's a way to get them a weight loss program. Come join our church. All right. Fred, bring some decorum back to this show, if you would.
Try to bring it back to today's issues. All right. Sandy, I wanted to get your comments on what appears to be now a war against ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I mean, you got cities now that they're saying, we're not going to deal with ICE anymore. We don't want their help to get the bad guys. We think they're behaving in a way that doesn't help our, well, I'm going to say what they say, immigrant population, but they're talking about illegals. But there was an incident in recent days out in Portland, Oregon, that just went beyond the pale. There were protests, anti-ICE protests, around the federal building where ICE agents have their offices there. And it was getting pretty nasty. And so the police were called out. And the mayor of the city, whose name is Ted Wheeler, tells the police to stand down and let the protests continue. And things got pretty rough out there, to the point now where the union representing the ICE agents has written a letter, and they may actually go to court against the city of Portland. But that mayor, Ted Wheeler, is not backing down from this at all. Philadelphia, just the last few days, same thing. We want nothing to do with ICE anymore. San Francisco, I think Chicago. What do you make of all of this? I mean, and there's no complaint from the Democratic Party about this. This is the other aspect of this, and that's another part of the story. Carol Markowitz was on Fox and Friends this morning. She's a writer, I believe, for the New York Post, talking about the threats of violence. There was a threat against Republican Diane Black, and a man was indicted for threatening to kill her. And so we've had the Maxine Waters stuff, all of this. But the Democratic Party is not saying anything to try to defuse what is the growing violence.
Because they don't want to.
Well, Sandy,
let me answer that one for you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, because their base right now, their base are the leftists that elected Ocasio, whatever her name
Ocasio
is,
out of Cortez.
Ocasio Cortez. That's their base right now. It's Antifa. It's the radical LGBT movement. It's
Occupy Wall Street types.
Yes, it's black radicals. It's all the minority and illegal immigrant radicals groups that are being converged. That is their base, their voting base. So they don't want to alienate their base, even though some Democrats might not think so much of all this violence and this lawlessness. They don't dare say so because they want to win the next election. Meanwhile, you have Republicans who are saying precious little about it either, except for the president. In fact, let me just tell you that in the House, they are still trying to pass these measures that I got to remember exactly. There's a subcommittee that just refused to it has to do with the funding bills to defund sanctuary cities. There are many more points to it. I'll be talking to Daniel Horowitz tomorrow on the air about this very thing. So if people want to tune in to listen, but I'm just saying the Republicans are still doing everything they can to come the way of the Democrats. That's what's so astounding about this. And that's why the president's talking about now these funding bills that the House and Senate are sending to him are again the wish list of the Democratic Party.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the Democratic Socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she has, you know, no problem saying, yeah, I'm a socialist. You know, she's just kind of like the shooting star in the Democratic Party, you know, radical leftist. But she's running for a congressional district spot in New York, but she was on the West Coast. This goes to your point, talking about the base of the Democratic Party is shifting left, and she is so popular on the West Coast, she sold out two fundraising events in San Francisco, and one of them, I was looking at an article from the San Francisco Examiner, actually sold out twice. They had to do it twice because she's so popular.
She's opening for Bruce Springsteen. Did you know that?
No.
Is she really?
No, I think.
Or is that a joke?
I think that's a joke, but she could. But this is, I mean, this is all the way on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. She
just
shot out of a cannon here, and now on the West Coast, she's selling out fundraising events.
Let me balance that with another story. Oregon is a very blue state, has been for years. And, you know, Fred just told us the story about what happened in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the governor's race in Oregon, unbelievably, for the first time in, I think, decades, the Republican is running neck and neck. The Republican candidate for governor is running even with a Democratic candidate. So my point is, even in the liberal, off the charts Oregon, people are beginning to say, wait a second, because Oregon is a sanctuary state. I'm sure, and the chaos, Oregon is having the same problem as Seattle with homeless, with defecation on the streets, with needles in the parks where they have to go out and clean the needles up before kids can play soccer. I mean, they are seeing the citizens of Oregon, and I'm sure Washington State, are seeing the real results of these policies. So are the people of California, you know, who are rising up, you know, in these various cities and mm-hmm. saying, we are not going to be a sanctuary city. There's probably, I'm guessing, about a half a dozen of them. So there are pockets of sanity. And, I just don't know how this is all going to come down. I just don't know. Sometimes I think in the 2018 that common sense is going to come like a wave. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think, I know, we've lost it. You know, I just don't know.
Well, what I've noticed here, we're talking about the rhetoric, angry is not a... That doesn't come close to what I'm trying. Rhetoric of the political left. What am I trying to say? What words am I looking for?
Well,
here?
I mean, angry rhetoric.
But it's beyond anger.
Yeah.
Here's what these people think, and this goes to the late night talk show host. Almost all of them. Almost all the media. Almost all the media. The liberal media. I'm talking about. The entertainment industry. All the pop stars and singers and Hollywood actors and people like Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep remember Vice President Pence is in the audience taking in a Broadway show, the show Hamilton, and they stopped the show. Mm-hmm. Didn't they stop the show and call him out?
Yeah.
Or either they never started the show before they called him out. The cast, I mm-hmm. think.
Yes, it was.
It was. So, you remember Steve Scalise was shot, and many of them could have been murdered there.
Trump
that day.
Administration officials, in restaurants.
Yeah. So these people, let me tell you why these people are getting away with it unchecked, uncriticized. Fred asked, why isn't the Democratic Party saying anything about this? And they'll do. Some of them will come on TV and get a little lip service to, we're not for violence, but. The reason is, these people, while they don't believe in God, many of them, they are on a holy cause, okay?
Right.
They believe themselves to be righteous to take out people on the right because our ideas are not legitimate, okay? They're in the same way Nazi ideas are not legitimate.
Right.
This is what these people think.
Yeah, they believe our ideas are evil. They don't really believe
in evil in a spiritual way, except that they do. I've always found that ironic.
Yeah.
But they do believe that conservatives are what they would call right-wing people, especially right-wing Christians. We are the embodiment of what's wrong with the world and evil. And so they are, in their minds, they are justified with taking whatever action needs to be taken, whether it's shouting down Sanders,
Sarah Huckabee Sanders
in a restaurant, or trying to Maxine Waters to cause to intimidate mm-hmm. wherever you find people mm-hmm. like
yeah,
us,
right?
So I mean, you know, they feel vindicated because if they can intimidate enough people and we get out of we get out of places of influence, whether it be an office or whatever, then they have achieved their goal.
They've saved the planet.
They've saved the planet, yeah. So anyway, Sandy, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your work every morning on Sandy Rios in the Morning. What are you going to have on tomorrow? Do you know yet?
Yes, I do. Daniel Horowitz is going to talk to us about what's happening on the issue of immigration and what the Congress is doing in the spending bills, which is really not a good thing, which is why the president's threatening to veto it. So we'll talk about that
Jim
tomorrow.
Jordan got a chance to win?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
It doesn't mean it's easy. It's not a done deal. You know, it's kind of like if you're running for student council president, you know, do you have a chance to win? I mean, there might be one. It's all personality. It's all in-house. He has to do
Who does he have to beat? Kevin McCarthy?
Kevin doesn't have enough votes to be speaker, and neither does Steve Scalise.
Who's that leave Jim Jordan going against then?
Well, I'm not saying they won't run, but I'm just telling you they don't have enough to win. Hmm. And so it could be, I know there is some discussion of some other names, but nobody's really running except for Jim Jordan. I think Kevin McCarthy officially too now has thrown his hat in the ring. So yeah. Jim is, I think, highly respected by members of Congress, even if they don't agree with him. And I think they know that he'll be a good leader and he'll be fair to them. And I think surely they understand that the House is kind of a disgraceful body right now. How would you not be embarrassed by the leadership, the lack of it, of Paul Ryan? It really is embarrassing, the way he equivocates and does not fight on anything.
Right.
So I'm just hoping and praying that Congressman Jordan can prevail in this race. It's not a done deal for anyone, and it's not a done deal that he'll win. But can he? Is it possible? Yes.
Okay.
By the way, Sandy, before we let you go, great show this morning. I was listening on the way into work. You're interviewing Jay Christian Adams about voting and some of the fraud that's been going on. That was excellent radio. Tip of the hat to you on that. That was great.
Oh, thank you, Ed. That's sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Sandy, thank you.
Okay. All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's bye-bye. Sandy Rios. Tune in to Sandy's show each weekday morning, Monday through Friday. That's what weekday means. Just wasted words right there, didn't I? 7:05 to 8:00 Central Time in the morning. I was coming to work this morning. Allison, my wife and I, we're coming to work. Rarely do we drive in together. She doesn't. She's a nana.
Right.
Of five grandchildren, and that's her quote full time job and taking care of our household business. But so we rarely drive in. She dropped me off at the office, and so we crossed this bridge. Right before the bridge, it said, had a yellow sign, you know, watch for freezing in cold weather. And on the yellow sign. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, bridges freeze first.
It's the warning.
Yeah.
It's the warning sign you get on bridges.
Right.
I don't know how far south they take those things. They do that in Orlando.
Well, we get some cold weather.
I know. You get a couple of cold snaps a year
where
that might be a possibility. But I said to her, I don't know if that part's necessary about. Do you have freezing and warm weather? Beware of freezing and warm
weather. Oh, it said that? It said bridge may freeze in cold weather kind of thing?
In cold weather. Bridge may. And I thought, you know. Bridge may freeze in moderate weather.
Well, listen.
That didn't put on
you
there.
Ever, I mean, the
you have to tell people freezing only happens in cold weather? Is this because we're in Mississippi? and they want to, somebody wants to take a dig at us for not being very smart. That's what I wondered, Ed.
Well, it's the same kind of thing where they got a little sticker on the hair dryer for blow drying your hair. Do not operate while you're in the bathtub. Hey, now, you know, I guess they don't want to get sued, but if you got to tell someone not to do that.
That's right.
I got the.
They're not long for this world anymore.
I got the winner of these kind of things, okay?
Kind of Darwin Awards kind of thing?
Yes, that's good. Darwin Awards. So this is probably 30 years ago and went to catfish with my father-in-law.
Okay.
Jim. He's since gone on to heaven. But we used to go fishing.
He loved fishing.
He loved fishing. We'd go fishing every week or so. And I liked fishing with him because all I had to do was show up. He got everything together, even the boat, and all I had to do was shut up. We went to a catfish pond. And this is where you, It was a catfish pond, and got out the bait. I mean, you can fish with catfish with various different kinds of bait, but this was the catfish dough.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Dough.
Very smelly.
You know what I'm talking about, Fred? Catfish dough.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's like dough. It's like, so you, I mean, you, it's bait. So you open the lid, and you know right away what the catfish are attracted to. It's the odor.
Yeah, it stinks.
It stinks. It just stinks. But it's worth it if you can catch a big catfish with it. But anyway, right. So I don't know why, but I decided to read the ingredients on this catfish. I must have been bored there for a few minutes, but I read the catfish dough ingredients. But after I read the ingredients, which I don't remember all of them, but it wasn't something that was appealing to me.
You personally,
you know,
yeah.
I didn't see it. I don't remember it on a Red Lobster menu, but it said. A big bold black letters on the side of this white container. It said, I mean, the biggest said, not for human consumption. Not for human consumption. So I guess they thought maybe somebody puts this on a cracker and we get sued. Our company's out of business because some idiot puts our... our catfish bait on a Ritz cracker.
Now I got to say, so I don't.
Can
get
you
in
top
trouble.
That one?
No, I cannot. The, okay, I can't top okay. that one. When I mention the Darwin Awards, it's going to be someone's going to email me and you're promoting evolution. No, it's a joke. That these really do exist. Right. It's a joke based on the idea that survival of the fittest, that species are weeded out. The creatures that can't survive are weeded out, and they're given to. These awards are given to people who basically weed themselves out by their right. stupidity. And people who eat catfish dough
right.
and put it on a cracker are a perfect example.
They qualify.
That's right.
For that award.
They'll weed themselves out. They will not procreate.
Not for human consumption. Just to be clear, our product is for catfish only. Oh, my word.
But now I will say this. Being a Yankee, I had never had catfish until I came down here to the South, and it is one of the finest foods you can.
But I bet they have catfish up north, though. I mean, they eat it. Don't
well,
they have
I,
it on
I,
menu?
I had never eaten it. Had you ever eaten catfish?
I
up
did
in Canada.
No, it was down here.
Yeah,
that's the first time I had it.
I think they're more warm weather.
But I mean, what I'm saying is they're catfish farming here and. They ship it all over the world. I mean, it's a delicacy.
I don't doubt it. And maybe it's just.
But you've never had it in New England.
Maybe it's become more popular over the years. But all the fish that I had were all, you know, Atlantic cod and all that kind of stuff. Very fishy tasting.
It's become, I think, even more popular because of the scarcity of other types of fish like cod.
Yeah.
The stocks, you know, in the ocean have really been depleted.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, a lot of the fish, if you go to supermarkets today, it's being shipped in from Indonesia and places like that.
Vietnam,
so a lot of people go to catfish because they know it's right here in the good old U.S. of
A. My wife will not buy salmon from China.
No.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're feeding that stuff.
That's right.
Well, they've been hit with tariffs, too.
Yeah, and that, too.
And she's got a real problem with that, doesn't she?
Tariffs. Diana, oh, yeah. Too. She's got some very peculiar economic views on tariffs.
Right. It affects her salmon purchases.
Yes, it does. And, so if she's listening, she's going to say, it sounds like you and Tim were mocking me.
What's your favorite kind of fish other than...
Oh, I'd say catfish. Now, I do love salmon.
Salmon,
but
I
don't
salmon,
fry it. So
fried fresh salmon is
really
about
good.
The best.
It's really good.
With nice rice and even broccoli and... Man, I just...
Tilapia is good, too.
Yeah. Tilapia is good?
Yeah.
Depending where it comes from.
Right.
Got to watch it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Fred, for your contributions to this...
something fishy going on here.
This cooking hour here on Today's Issue.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.